Fantastic. Who isn't glad they came to church? Yeah. Who's glad they came to church? Come on. Who's excited about God? Come on. All right, so turn in your Bibles if you have one, or your phone, whatever you use, whatever device you have these days. You can even have it on your watch, I believe. Anyway, Luke 6, verse 17. I wanted to talk to you this morning before we take up this offering and bring an offering. I like a couple of times a year to actually stand to our feet and bring something and say, you know what? God first. And so that's what we're going to be doing at the end of our service, placing it in this basket that's up the front here. And so there's no place like home. Now, Greg's really said this. Today is a significant day. It's a day we believe together for a greater future for our church. Right? A greater future for our church. And it's a day we play a part in progressing his church. And it's a day where you and I believe in faith for the amazing stories of God's goodness on our lives through belonging to the church. And so Luke 6, 17, I want to read you a bit of a passage here by Jesus and then explain it a little bit this morning, because we decided as a staff that we would stick to the book of Luke right through our story, our future offering through this season for the next few months. So verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, and power went out from him and healed them all. Who believes the church is the greatest place on earth? Jesus is at the center of his church. He's the head of his church. And as we read on, he talks about this famous passage about the Beatitudes, about what's most important in the kingdom of God. And so before we finish this morning and bring our offering, I really wanted to cement this home today. So verse 20, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor." That's encouraging, isn't it? "For yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." Luke only talks about the woes. You won't find it in Matthew. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Like I said, a real encouraging passage of Scripture, but I want to give you some real positive stuff from this passage this morning. You know, he came down, it says in Luke 6, 17. And the disciples were drawn to him. Is anyone here drawn to God this morning? Is anyone here glad that they got baptized last week? Give me a, yeah, look at these guys over here. So good, you know. It's good that you can be a part of a family and know that God's got you and going to take you where that you thought you could never go. And this is quite the reverse of the world in what this is what Jesus is talking about, which I'd like to explain today. Because Jesus is calling people to himself. It's what the church does. It calls people to Jesus. Now, Pastor Barry at Wellard was explaining to me that since the new building, he has had a number of people come to church from the local area. Some of them have walked to church. And others have come because they can see that we are not a fly-by-night operation. We are serious about changing people's lives and giving them a permanent home and a community to belong to. Let me just give you a couple of stats from Wellard. Because it was C3 Fremantle for your generosity that helped establish, and now we have two locations, not just one in Fremantle. We've had a 30% increase in attendance at Wellard since we've been in our new building. Come on. And our tithe income has doubled. Who knows that that means that some people have said, you know what, this is my home. This is my home. This is my home. There is no place like. Helen's been with us a very long time. No place like? No place. In this passage, Jesus is welcoming all. All. He's welcoming them home. In 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. The whole multitude sought to what? Touch him. One of the purposes of the church is to meet with Jesus frequently. It's why a home to belong to is so desirable. There is something special about God's people meeting in his house consistently. Does anyone feel more blessed because they've met together with other people of like-minded faith this morning? You see, every time we come into the building, we're taking ground from the enemy in our own lives. I can come into God's house feeling overloaded with problems, but I can leave this place with a new sense of victory. And we are establishing ourselves deep in the community of God, and that helps us from messing up. Who knows that when you've got people around you, it's less likely you're going to mess up. No, I'm the only one that needs people around me. It also helps us keep aligned to what God has for us. And corporately, we are establishing ourselves as a place of hope for our community. You know, people have said they have been driving by on the bus and God has spoken to them, go to that church. If you didn't have a physical building, that wouldn't be able to happen. When we were at the East Fremantle Football Club, they would have thought, well, I'll go to the East Fremantle. How did anyone know there was a church? There is something significant about taking ground. Barry told me a really funny story, because Barry looks after our buildings and he's also in our offices here. And this lady actually rang up. She saw our sign out the front and she caught a glimpse of it as she's driving past while she was in the bus. And the sign's, who's read the sign out the front? Some of you. And it's a bit quirky. I've actually had guys stop me as I've come into church and say, that's so funny. That sign, and other people kind of just look at me anyway. You see, it says, do you need a finance tip? We know a guy who liquidated his entire stock. Hashtag Noah. Okay? And the lady on the bus somehow thought we were liquidating as a church and selling off all our assets and rang Barry distraught. You can't close. I like the church. You see, because we have a permanent building that is in a visual location, God is able to draw people to himself. The life of God flows out from this place. Power went out from him and healed them all. Come on. Where else are you going to find that? And when we meet with Jesus, we will be set free. Church is the closest thing to heaven on earth. Not just one or two healed, he healed them all. Commentators put it this way. You know how commentators like to think in these really big words and things. But anyway, there were successive acts of mercy given to all that needed. My goodness. Well, it's true, right? They're kind of excited. Who knows? Who's glad that they belong to a Holy Spirit-empowered, life-filled church this morning? You see, there's something about the sense of all the different cultures meeting together. And, you know, this whole passage is of all these people coming together from all different nationalities, from all different walks of life, and yet in the church they're seen as one. There is no place like home. When I was at school, I couldn't wait to get home for a number of reasons. I'm not going to tell you too many stories, or Barry's trying to get me all these bad stories out of me, slowly but surely. But anyhow, this is not really one of them. And mostly because my mum always had such great food for me when I got home. You don't... Anyway, another story. So when I invited my friends back after school, they never wanted to go back to their house after school anymore. They wanted to come to my mum's food was made with love. My mum was a school teacher. She was actually a superwoman. I don't know how she did it. Anyway, we would have baked cake, like beautiful cakes with lots of icing on. When you were a kid, who doesn't like cakes with icing? And I'd go to my other friend's house and there might be a stale Vegemite sandwich and we'd look at each other, let's go to my place. Because my food was so much better. My food was made with love. And every time you come into God's house, there is going to be food made with love ready for you to eat. Come on! It may come from the conversations you have. It may come from the worship. It may come from the preaching. It may come from the prayer. But it's all made with love. And this new commandment I give you, love one another. Jesus changed the way we relate with one another permanently. Mum was a busy lady, like I said. School teacher, had a career. And always found time for her two boys. My brother, who's still at C3 Hepburn Heights, he's 2 years younger than me. But at 5 a.m. every morning, lunch is packed. We'd always have chocolate in the fridge. Anyway, long story. Home was a good place for me. A place where I was looked after, well looked after. A place I was cared for. And the atmosphere we grow up in is important for us. And it's good to grow up in an environment of love and care. Now, I know that my upbringing these days is rather unique. And that's why we have a place we can all call home. And here's the thing about belonging to a home like C3 Frio. We get what most often the world lacks, community. The truth is, we're all geared for community. When a band is in town, let's say that U2 rocks up to the biggest stadium in Perth, which would now be, I'm guessing, the football Optus, yeah. It wouldn't be too good for U2 if it was just one person in the audience, would it, eh? It wouldn't be quite the experience. But part of the whole vibe, part of the whole experience is that there's thousands of people actually dancing and singing and Bono and the band, everyone gets excited, right? It's community. So when we go to a sports stadium to watch a game, the atmosphere created by the masses, even if you don't like the game, my wife's been and she votes for the opposite team. Because she's just so interested, she wants to get to know all the people that are supposed to be the enemy at the game. Charlie and Andrea have a lot in common. Anyway, when girls in particular exercise together, there is a lot of talking. I can finish my workout and the two girls are still talking. And the truth is, you can't get a sense of self outside of community. Your value is intertwined in community. And we live in a world that does not value community. People are upset. People are falling out. People are angry. People are just unhappy. There are more single homes going up than ever before. That tells you something. Single dwellings, not families. And the one thing that is going to do you the most good in your life is doing life with others. And there is a force in the world which will do its utmost to keep you out of the community, yet is the deepest need of your heart. 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Jesus shows up. Power is coming from me. I am your hope. I am the one who will create a true community, a place that you can call home. And our story, our future, is all about how God creates good news stories in our lives as we trust him more and more. Second, bring people home. Oh, there you are, honey. Look at that. Bring people home. How does Jesus call us to bring people home? It's a good question. Come with me back to this passage. Blessed are you poor. Turn to your neighbor and say, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Okay, you don't have to keep doing it. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Jesus gives us a set of values to live by. First, blessed are you poor, referring to weakness by the world's standards. James paraphrases the Beatitudes. James 2:5, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, which he promised to those who love him? You and I are here in church today. We have given away part of our day to worship Jesus, and many people think, and I've had conversations with people, they know what I am and what I do, and they just think I'm crazy. I'm sure some of you have had similar conversations. And on top of that, you don't only just go to church, you give away at least 10% of your income. And then I say, well, that's just the start. But I tell you what, I am so blessed by what God has done in my life. And they just look at you, are crazy. But I tell you something, I'm not crazy. Because the wisdom that I get when I actually serve the Lord, the decisions that I don't make because they would have been really bad ones for me, the things that I do to extend the kingdom of God, nothing can take that away from me. I'm going to heaven, baby, with those. And so I'm not mad. I'm quite sane. I have much less fear now about anything that may be coming up or any news report or whatever's happening around the world because I know that Jesus has got it all in hand. The truth is, once you know Jesus and once you worship him in spirit and in truth, there's no turning back. There's only pressing forward to what God has for you to do next. And it's our story and it's our future. And what you have on your life through your relationship with Jesus and his church, your whole desire is to see his church be a blessing to others. Who'd like to be a blessing to others? Come on. And so rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom to those who love him, James 2 says. To those who love him. And so when you and I love someone, we are deliberate in our love. We are extravagant with them. We care deeply for their well-being and want to do well for them. My wife has been working away for, I think it's 5 weeks, 7 weeks. No wonder I hit my head and nearly got concussed, you know, the other day. Anyhow, private joke. Ask me afterwards. Haven't got time. She is doing it to help me worry. Oh, okay, I was going down to the beach and I'd gone for a ride and, you know, I have like these slow withdrawal symptoms from my wife. And Andrea always knows when it's time to come home because Nigel always hurts himself. I didn't expect to hurt myself. I went to put my shoes down, hit my head on a big sign which I did not see, and a lady next to me says, are you okay? Because it really was quite loud. And I says, I think I'm fine. And then I touch my head and this blood just pouring out of my head. And I just went for a swim anyway, felt a bit concussed all day, but I was okay. That has nothing to do with our story, our future. Except that, I don't know. I was trying to think of something, but hey, it's not worth it. For the most part, I've been doing these last 7 weeks, most of the washing and I don't iron. My wife notices. And do cooking for myself. It's actually quite boring. I'm actually glad she's home. But I'll tell you what, we can see a greater goal, because one of the reasons that Andrew's been working away is because we have a wedding coming up later this year and they are expensive. And we have to go to South Australia to start with, to a winery, to have the wedding. The money's going up. And also, I don't know why, but we tend to do this, we're also building our own home at this time. And you know what, bud? The thing is, when you're aligned, when you're on track together, because you just want to help one another achieve your goals. Isn't that right? So you'll do anything for the one that you love. And so we're doing that at the moment. But not this week, because I'd last say, Andrew wants to please stay home. Second, blessed are you who hunger now or sacrifice now, for you shall be filled. It may seem unfair at times. It may mean other things in your life and family are put on hold for a while. And there is a desire in our heart to lay down our life for the Lord because we love him. We learn not to be selfish, but to release our life and our resources to Jesus. Third, I better move along. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Laughter is coming, people. Come on. Laughter's coming. And when we build his house and make it our home and it shows it and show that it's ours and we sacrifice like we do with our story, our future, there will become a time and a reason to laugh. And there is a joy that comes from serving Jesus that is impossible to place into words through satisfaction, because God puts it in our soul. Fourth, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you. You and I may feel excluded by certain people. We will feel different to the world, and that's because we are not meant to fit. We're not meant to. We're not meant to fit. Across the races, I am present with power to create a new counterculture. My name is Jesus. I'm coming to bring you home. A new society, a new community. And let's go to the woes just quickly. Woe to you who are rich, people who have power in this world. Woe to you who are full, comfortable in life. Woe to you who laugh, people who gloat and dwell on one's successes. Woe to you when men speak well of you, celebrities. Do I need to go any further? Recognition, status with men. Jesus is communicating and saying, these are the things I don't value at all in my kingdom. Power, comfort, gloating, recognition, I don't value them at all in my kingdom. Here are the things I value. Weakness, sacrifice, grief, exclusion. Who wants to join his kingdom? Commentator Michael Wilcox put it this way. In the life of God's people, it will be seen first of all a remarkable reversal of values. The people of God will prize what the world calls pitiable and suspect what the world thinks desirable. Jesus is not saying to seek these things, but to prize them. He is not saying to refuse these things, but to suspect them. It is not that you go seeking, suffering, and weeping, but you do prize what you have. Jesus is not saying you refuse power and success, but you suspect it. Jesus says, when you enter into a relationship with me, I create in you, your inner being, a radical freedom so that power, comfort, success, and recognition have no control over you. Psychologically, this freedom changes all of your social relationships. Come on, I'll bring this home. See, this is why I will continue to build the church, why Andrea and I and our team and our pastors at both locations will stretch to build new ones and take more ground from the devil, because there is simply no freedom like his freedom. And Jesus is saying, when you enter into a relationship with me, I will give you a radical freedom, that so that you are free and no longer controlled by power, by comfort, by success, or recognition. You enter into a community that the same that has the same freedom as you. And so I will give you a blessedness that is impervious to circumstances. In my kingdom, you are not looking... Oh, I love this. In my kingdom, you are not looking down on anyone. You are looking over at people. Socially free. Psychologically free. Inside Christ, you can get along. Outside Christ, never. There really is no place like home. Luke 9:58. This is Jesus speaking. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. Yeah, come up, music too. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The foxes are not without their holes. The birds of the air do not lack their nests. But what Jesus is saying is, I don't have a place to rest my... This is not my home. Your home is not of this world. Your future is ahead of you, not behind you. And Jesus says, a bit further on in verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't have time for excuses. He was going forward. His kingdom first. Those that value, follow. So I want to ask you a question. Are you all in today, church? Are you all in? Because not casual Christians, all in Christians. Because in the end, there is no place like home. And this is our story and our future. If you want to give to yourself unconditionally, look at your money. It's possible to give money while withholding yourself, but it's not possible to give yourself while withholding your money. So I want us to take our faith promises in our hands today. And the kids are going to come in a second. I hope they're waiting outside, actually. That was a hint for the usher. The first question is, what can I give? What can I give? A faith promise for the kingdom expansion is over above our tithe. And we are incredibly blessed living in Australia. Second question we've got to ask is, what can I give up? I can give up a coffee, I can give up holiday destination, go somewhere cheap. There's a lot of things we can do. You know, God's purposes ride on the willing hearts of his people. And lastly, what can I believe God for, which Greg covered marvellously? I just say this one thing. The Bible is clear. Faith pleases God. A faith promise is being a good steward of what God has given you and then adding faith to it. And so, Father, today, we thank you that we can call this place home. We thank you, Lord, that we are coming home to be with you. And we want to replicate heaven today and be generous with all that we have for your kingdom. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.